Hey man, it's good to see everybody out to the homebrew meeting for the first homebrew meeting in the year 2025. And we just thank God for the opportunity to have this homebrew meeting, and I'm very thankful to everyone that comes out faithfully and dedicated. You know, I was looking in the Bible, and one of the rewards we get in heaven is crowns. There's three types of crowns that we will receive from God. And all three of those crowns is tied to one thing, and they're all tied to our faithfulness to God and to our brothers and our sisters. And so if we want the crown of life and the crown of blessing and the crown of righteousness, which are those three crowns, they're all tied to faithfulness. So we need to be faithful. Amen. So I thank everybody who has come out here and been faithful. Amen. So I'm kind of excited. I'm going to be starting a new teaching, and I'm really excited in my spirit to be teaching this and what I'm going to be teaching. And I will be teaching this on the radio as well, on WJCV radio Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7:30 a.m., which is the second best time to be on the radio. And I'm going to be talking on the need for spiritual discernment. You know, I used to think the greatest need in the body of Christ was more of a being teachable. And yes, there's a great lack of being taught or just being teachable. But I'm afraid now, as I look over the church from a global perspective, one of the greatest lacks in the body of Christ is the ability to have spiritual discernment. Now, not discernment, because we all have discernment, but this is spiritual discernment. And the definition for spiritual discernment is to see as God sees. Let me say that again. The definition for spiritual discernment is to see as God sees. And that's what we need, especially in these days that we live, is we need to be able to see as God sees. And so we're going to be looking at this topic of spiritual discernment. So I'm going to go ahead and start that. And so we're going to go ahead and we're going to back up and we're going to do a little bit of nug work, as they say in the military. And we're going to kind of look at Matthew 7, 1 through 5 in a minute. But we got to look at verses in context. And that would be a great place to say amen. If you don't look at verses in context, then you're going to miss the truth of the Word of God.
Right.
Because context lays the foundation for the truth. And context in every verse, there's always a person, a place, and why. Those are three elements of a context of verses, and that's a person, a place, and why. And if we get the context wrong, then we're going to get the truth of that verse wrong. Amen? Let me say that again. If we get the context of what's going on in that verse, we think it's talking about some other person or whatever, or some place, or why. If we get all of that wrong, then we're going to get the truth of that verse wrong. And if we get the truth wrong, then, well, you know, what can we say? Amen? So, who has Matthew 7, 1 through 5?
I do.
Okay.
Judge not that ye be not judged. For what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
Amen. Thank you very much. Okay, now the context of this was the Sermon on the Mount, or the Beatitudes. And Jesus was sharing this at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And when Jesus was not talking to the everyday people as much, and he was, this still applies to us, but Jesus was talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees of the people that were walking with him. And I'll show you, you know, why that is going on. So the context here of these verses is Jesus is talking to the religious leaders of the temple. And so we're going to look at that a little more in detail. And Jesus was telling us also to judge. Believe it or not, Jesus was telling us to judge in these verses, but to be careful, take heed, so that we do not get caught up in the issues and the situations of the unrighteousness of people, ungodly situations. Jesus was telling us to be careful, take heed to what is being said and what is going on, so that you don't get caught up in these situations. Amen?
Amen.
Or get over in the sin of passing judgment. Wow. Or the sin of passing judgment. And so when you see as God sees, when God opens up your eyes a little bit, you're going to have to make some judgments. You're going to have to judge. Judging righteous judgments, there is judgment that we will have to do. But we got to be careful that we don't get over into the sin of passing judgment. It's okay to judge, but it's not okay, unless you're in a place of authority, to go ahead and pass judgment on that person. So we must judge with the right heart condition. With the right heart condition. These Sadducees, the Pharisees here in Matthew 7 did not have the right heart condition. They did not have the foundational truths in them to be able to judge righteous judgment. Who has verse Luke 18 and 8?
I do. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?
18 and 8. Okay. Maybe, okay, so, well, okay. Maybe I gave the wrong verse, and I'm sorry very much. But what I was going after here is, in God, it's not what we do, it's how we do things. Let me say that again. In God, it's not what we do as much as how we do things. So in the verse, and maybe I got the wrong verse here, and I'm sorry, Kathleen, but in the verse it was talking about how we hear. Now, can anybody hear determine how they hear? Or, you know, can they hear? The only way we cannot hear is by, like, if I stick my fingers in Kathleen's ears, well, she can't hear. But that's not what Jesus was telling the disciples. Jesus was telling the disciples to be careful how you hear. Do you have the right heart condition when you're hearing things so that you can make the right judgments? So that you can use spiritual discernment. You can see as God sees. Yeah, so we must have the right heart condition.
Maybe I should read number 9. That seems pertinent.
Okay, what is number 9?
Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others.
No, I think I gave you the wrong verse. But anyways, the point I wanted to make from that verse was to be careful how we hear. If we hear with the wrong heart condition, if there's malice and strife and anger in our heart, then, you know, we're not going to be able to make right decisions, and there will be no spiritual discernment happening in our lives.
I think it was 8:18 you wanted, dear.
8:18, okay. Yes. Go ahead, fire it up.
Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So I got the one in the wrong place. But anyways, yeah, so be careful how you hear. How you hear. And I can tell you a wonderful story, you know, about this, but you know, I'm not going to go into it. But it's just so important how that we hear. Unless we have a real relationship with the Lord, all we can do is pass judgment and never judge the weightier things of life. Who has number 3? Matthew 23:23.
Yeah, I do. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith.
Amen.
These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone.
Wow. Amen. So the weightier things, as Jesus says, we're supposed to judge things. You know, we judge things all the time. We go shopping and we pick up a tomato and we go, I don't like that tomato. We put it down. I like this tomato. I mean, I go to the, you know, to the commissary with Karen, and I'm always going through the green onions and cucumbers, and I'm getting the best one, you know. I mean, we're taught how to judge. You know, we judge all these things. Then when it comes to spiritual matters, oh, don't judge, don't judge. No, we got to judge. We got to step back and go, wait a minute. You know, there's some places you can't go and be a Christian. Uh-oh. There's some people you can't hang around and be a Christian. Whew, man. If not, then you get caught up in some things. And so we need to have, you know, that spiritual judgment, that, you know, spiritual discernment, so that we can judge the weightier things. The law. Wow. Judgment, mercy, Brother Howard just read it, and faith. These ought to be have done and not to leave the others undone. Wow. So God wants us to be judge, but not to pass judgment. And we're talking about that. Amen? So some of the verses of Matthew 7:1-5, believe it or not, are some of the most destructive verses to righteousness and the body of Christ. Let me say that again. These verses, Matthew 7:1-5, are some of the most destructive verses to righteousness and the body of Christ, because so many Christians are taught not to judge. Oh, don't judge, don't you even judge, because if you judge, then you're going to be judged. Well, that's true. That's how it applies to us. As we judge, we shall be judged. Let me say that again. As we judge, if we have the wrong heart condition, and we judge somebody out of our own heart, then we will be judged that same way. We are to judge righteous judgment. We're to have a righteous heart condition so that we could judge the weightier things of God. And of course, you know, we looked at the beam, and I just want to go over a couple of things here. You know, the beam it talks about here is Strong's 1385 in the Greek, and it's a stick of lumber. And that, Brother Howard, can you imagine having a stick of lumber in your eye? Wow, I can't. Boy, you know, and the moat, you know, that's Strong's 2595 in the Greek. And it is a dry twig or a straw. So now if you have a straw or a dry twig in your eye and a beam, wow. So that's what Jesus was talking about. And there, and I know he was talking about the hypocrites, because if you read on, it says, thou hypocrite. And if you look at that word hypocrite there, that word is judge, and it's Strong's 5273, and it's Pharisees. It's Pharisees. So when Jesus was saying this, he was walking around, probably talking to people, and he was talking at this time to the Pharisees, to the leaders of the temple, who did not have the right heart condition. Because that word is just Pharisee. Thou Pharisees, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then shall see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eyes. Amen? Again, Jesus was talking to the religious leaders. He wasn't talking to the every common day people that had a problem. But it does apply to us, because as we judge, we shall all be judged. Amen? Spiritual discernment is a result of knowing Christ. Let me say that again. Now, if you're taking notes, you need to underline that, asterisk that, and star that. Because we will never, ever be able to judge spiritual or have spiritual discernment. We will never, ever be able to see like God sees unless we know Christ. If you know the truth himself, then you're going to, well, know the truth that pertains to him. And you're going to know what is of him. This is, of course, the progressive revelation into which we all have to come. So the more that we know Christ, the more we will have an ability to judge spiritually. Let me say that again. And this is missing in the church. I'm telling you. Most Christians haven't got a clue of what's going on spiritually in the church.
Right.
And that's because they don't know Christ. They know doctrine and they know all the other things, but they don't know Christ. And that's why anything goes, and error and all of this stuff just goes ahead and just flows around what's going on in the body of Christ. We really must understand that discernment is the result of knowing Christ. Too often we make the sermon a thing or even a gift and think of it as something we're able to do as a thing unto itself. No, for a Christian, everything connected to life in Christ and nothing operates independent of our relationship with Him. Wow! Let me say that again. That is so important. For a Christian, everything in our life is connected to the life in Christ and nothing operates independent out of our relationship with Him. Nothing that is of God, that is. Thus, discernment, spiritual discernment, does not operate independent of Christ, but rather it is a product of our relationship with Him. It's a product of our relationship with Him, one, and it's the knowledge of Him. Wow, that is critical. But you don't hear this being taught in the church. No, my goodness, why not? This tells us how to know error. Wow. Error is not simply bad theology, although even though there's a lot of that out there. Brethren, now listen, error is a misrepresentation of Christ Himself. Anytime there's error, that is a misrepresentation of Christ Himself, because Christ is truth. You either have truth or error. So if you're operating in error, if you're doing something that is an error, then that is a misrepresentation, wow, of Christ Himself. One way or another, it is that. Thus, I cannot know error unless I know the truth. For us to be able to recognize error, that means we have to know the truth. Let me say that again. For us to be able to recognize error, that is error. That is not of the Word of God. That means we have to then have an understanding of what the truth is. So, it is neither truth nor error, but to know error, we must also know the truth. Boy, that is so critical. Amen? I do realize that it's possible for discernment to operate purely on a theological or intellectual level. People do have brains, and even an atheist can spot hypocrisy and some error. And I will tell you that is true. But discernment of the Holy Spirit, much more than simply being able to compare notes and come to a conclusion. The discernment by the Holy Spirit means that I am able to sense whether something belongs to Christ. Wow. You need to underline that. When we have spiritual discernment, then we can sense whether something or someone belongs to Christ. I can walk up to people and I can just feel if they're a Christian or not. I can feel a spirit coming out of them because the Spirit of God is in me. I can walk up to somebody and I can feel if the Spirit of God is in them. Because the Bible says that spirits will bear witness one to the other. If I walk up to somebody and I don't feel the presence of God coming out of that person, I back up. Spiritual discernment. I go, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute, you know. I'm going to have to be careful around this person. Whoa, I just got to be careful around that person. Man, The discernment of the Holy Spirit means that I am able to sense whether something belongs to Christ or it doesn't. It is all based on Him, whether it fits into Him or not. We must desire this for 2025. You will not get spiritual discernment by going to church. Say that again. You will not get spiritual discernment by singing in the choir. You will not get spiritual discernment by working around the church and paying your tithes and doing all of those things. You only get spiritual discernment when you come to know Jesus Christ in a deeper and fuller way. And the only way that happens is when you spend time with Him. When you read the Word of God. When you crack open the Bible and you read His Word. And you spend time with Him in prayer. That is the only way that you ever get spiritual discernment. And I will tell you, we need spirit. You need, you, I, everybody needs spiritual discernment. Wow. So much error and deception in the world today in the church. Just turn on YouTube. My, everybody's a prophet and everyone's this and everyone's prophesying and it's all this deception and this trash. It's crazy. It's out there. And
right.
And you get caught up there. You get caught up there. Well, why do you get caught up? Because there are things in you that deception hooks into. Like greed. And all of these things. The prosperity doctrine. It appeals to greedy people. And I'm talking about Christians that are greedy and they want to win this. And, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, then it is. Wow. Spiritual discernment, again, sees as God sees. Unless we know Christ and therefore have Him as our basis of discernment, we're going to use something else. Usually we use our understanding of how we feel about things or whether something appeals to us. Sometimes Christians just don't think. Amen? I know sometimes I just don't think. They simply resign and let others think for them. Unless we know Christ, we will never ever use the way, we will use the ways of the world and the ways of ourself to judge and discern life. That's the only thing that we have. Either Christ will be our basis of spiritual discernment, or we will use the ways of the world and ourselves to judge and discern life. When we get it wrong, then we are dead wrong. We are dead wrong. And that's why we must, again, read our Bible, spend time with God, do all of those things that we need to do, that God wants us to do. If there is one thing the church needs today, it is the discernment that comes from knowing the person of Jesus Christ. The fact that there seems to be so little discernment out there today is simply evidence that many, including leaders, do not know Him. Mm-hmm. Leaders do not know Him. Wow. Mm-hmm. The more we know Christ, the more we will see as God sees. Let me say that again. The more we know Christ, the more we come in to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's not just for our salvation, that's only the beginning. But the more we learn about Him, learn about His ways, the more that we're going to be able to see like God. The consequences are everywhere. The growing trend in churches today is the compromise of truth for the sake of unity. Oh, unity, unity. Churches compromise to keep members and get them. This compromise is not merely seen in wrong things being preached, it is also seen in right things that are eliminated. I was talking to this one person, and we were talking about churches and stuff, and I was at the Grace Church, and the discussion, you know, came on churches and having people come to the church and stuff like that. And most churches, their goal is to win people to their church. Mm-hmm. Come to my church, you know. Win people to the church. No. That's not God's goal. God's goal is to win people to Christ. Amen. Win people to Christ. Not win people to my church. We are to win people to Christ. And if we can win people to Christ, well, then that means they go to heaven. There's a lot of people that are one to different churches, but if the church is not walking in the truth of the Word of God, then, wow. Well, anyways, it is seen in right things being eliminated. Preachers like Joel Osteen openly brag about the fact that they've never preached that we are sinners. That's true. Never preached that we are sinners. Romans 3:23. But repent, or that there is a cross that each of us must meet. Who has the last verse? Luke 9:28.
Now, it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray.
Is that Luke 9:28?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, I must have a different verse.
9:28 and 29.
Mount of Transfiguration.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I'm sorry, I have the wrong verse again. But anyways, you know, where I was going with that, Jesus was saying that we have a cross. If you desire to come after me, you must take up your cross daily and follow me. And what Jesus was saying, if you desire to become, you know, to become like me, to follow me, then you're going to follow me into death, into that spiritual death. You're going to follow me to the cross. You too will fall into the ground and die, like, you know, like that corn of wheat in John 12:24. We all have a cross that we must bear every day. But teachers like Joel Osteen and the like, you know, they don't want to talk about the Christ, you know, about the cross of Christ. They don't want to talk about the death of Christ. They only want to talk about the glory of Christ. But you cannot have the glory of Christ without the death of the cross. They walk hand in hand.
I think you wanted 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And my wife saves me again. Wow. Thank you very much. What would I do without you? Okay, amen. That's right. So Jesus said, take up your cross daily. It's a daily thing that we must do. We must take up our cross and die. But preachers like Joel Osteen and the like, they don't want to talk about that. Amen. All I got to say is, give me that old time religion. That was preached a long, long time ago. That was the message. That was the message that was preached, and that message is not preached today. And I'll tell you why that message is not preached anymore, because of the lack of spiritual discernment in the church.
Right.
There's all this other stuff being preached, all this other stuff, and it doesn't get down to the heart of the issue. Remember, at the heart of the issue, it's always an issue of our heart. Let me say that again. At the heart of the issue, it's always an issue of our heart. And unless the gospel gets down to the heart, to our heart, then it will never be able to change us. Amen?
Amen.
It would seem that today more than ever, whatever will get the people in the pews is what is accepted as truth. Or people just don't care about truth at all. Amen. Either way, the trend of the last 10 to 15 years is one of anything goes in the name of love. In our stick in our unity, people like Osteen and Warren, Biles, and all of them are echoing the heretic Robert Shula, believe it or not. Concentrate on yourself and on making you the center of God's universe. Well, that's the message that they say. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we need to concentrate on ourselves so that we will be the center of God's universe. No, that's not the message. That's not the message gospel. And since we all care about ourselves, we eat this stuff up. And yet the kind of message is actually the message of Antichrist. Now, I'm not talking about the Antichrist in the book of Revelation, but the word Antichrist means another Christ. The word anti means against in our English vernacular. But in the word here, Antichrist, as used in the Bible, is against Christ. It's another Christ. It's another message. You know, it's another gospel. It's a false message instead of Christ. And so anything that is not of the gospel, anything that is not of the Word of God, then it is Antichrist. It is another Christ. It is another message. It is a false message. Antichrist is basically Christ without the cross.
Yeah.
That's what Antichrist is. It's Christ without the cross. In other words, Antichrist is man and Adam affirmed religiously just as he is and without the need to meet the cross. The modern gospel of self-esteem is the fullness of the gospel. I call the fullness of the gospel of Satan. That is not extreme. That is not an extreme statement. It is the truth. And it is here now. And this is the message. This is the message that is preached in most churches. It's about yourself. And it's about humanism. And, you know, God wants you to be better. And God wants you to be happy. And stuff like that. Well, that's not the message that's in the Bible. It is one of the most subtle yet damning deceptions ever perpetrated on the body of Christ. Draw your own conclusions, my friend, about what this means as to this times of what we do. Most churches and denominations teach this message. I know, I've been to a lot of churches, and this is the main message. Most churches' literature is humanistic. It is humanistic, and it's about man, and it's trying to get man, you know, man better, and get man stronger, and working on man so that he could do all of these things. No, God has one plan for man, and that is to kill us. God wants us to die. He wants us to fall into the ground and die so his son can live through us. Amen? Yes. Last point. All of this comes back to the lack of discernment and usually result trying to do for God on the wrong basis. What only God can do on the right basis. God wants his church unified in Christ and in the truth. Let me say that again. God wants his church unified in Christ. Christ is the glue. Christ is the reason. It's the purpose and nothing else. And the truth, because Jesus is the truth. Today we are trying to unify the church by compromising with both.
Right.
And we are. Most churches are compromising with both. You know, I was up in the church in Greenville. And I heard this one pastor, he said, 2025, let's thrive in 25. I mean, last year it was more in 24. Churches have all these slogans, Dad. More in thrive. And I said to the pastor, I said, only thrive? You only want to thrive? I don't want to thrive. Thrive means you're barely making it. You're just barely sustained in life. I don't want to thrive in 25. I want to be victorious. I want to do things for God. I want God to use me. I want to get to know God in a greater way. I just don't want to just limp into heaven. I mean, if I make it to heaven, which I know I will, I'll be happy. But wait a minute, I just don't want to thrive. I want to excel. I want to do those things that God wants me to do. I want to be found worthy, and you know, I want him to use Karen and I. I just don't want to thrive. There's so much more in God wants for us and he has for us. And if you only want to thrive, well, that's what you're going to do. You're just going to make it. But that's not what God wants for us. In 2025, God wants us more than thrive. He wants us to be victorious and conquer. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and your many blessings. Father, Lord, thank you for this message, Father, Lord God, for the beginning of spiritual discernment, Father. Lord, help us all to see as God sees, Father. Lord, help us to see as God sees, Father. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God, that we'll have a desire for greater spiritual discernment, Father, Lord God. And we won't get caught up in all of these messes that we get caught up in, even in church messes, Father, Lord God. Lord, that all we're seeing is you high and lifted up, and you will be the glue of the unity of the church, Father. And we thank you and we praise you, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.